We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The sound of the final buzzer means it's hangover time. So grab a drink and join your host, Alphonse Sidney, for a Miami Heat Beat post-game show.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Hangover Time post-game show. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas, wore a suit today for the occasion. My first time hosting hot. Alf's not here today. Alf had an emergency and I was here to step in. I'm very excited. I've always wanted to host one of these. Alf never lets me. You know, it's a big deal. It's his baby. I've always wanted to say this. Bring me out, Brass. Let's see what we got today. You motherfucker. You motherfuckers. Hey, fucking. Are you serious? Do I even have a producer? I don't know. So these people just left me. This is a protest? Did my staff just go on strike? Did they unionize? Holy, what the fuck? I don't even. Well, for the pod audience, everyone is just not here. There's a bunch of empty boxes, empty microphones, empty setups. Apparently, nobody wants to do the show with me. It's okay, though. You know what? Let's find out what I'm going to drink tonight. What am I going to drink tonight? And I'll fucking do the show alone if I have to. Okay? So what am I? Taking this damn suit off. I wore a damn a cake. Oh, look who showed up. Oh, look at that. Hey, Brass.
Hi, G.
How was the little strike?
I don't know. I had a good time.
Better than being here. Better than being here. Welcome to Hangover Time, folks. My coworkers wanted to play a little prank on me, and that was cute. That was funny, y'all. Okay, so I guess we are doing What Are We Drinking? I guess I am doing a show with co-hosts. I'm keeping it simple today. A little gin and tonic. You know, real nice and simple on a Sunday night, you know, celebrating, you know, my first time doing hot. Exciting. Moose, what are we drinking tonight?
Hello, G. How are you? Congratulations on your first show hosting. We're going to keep it to a hard 30 tonight. I got the monkey shoulder right here, as always, and I'm going to hit you one time with a drip drop.
Going me out of that.
Oh, my God. How many more games do we have?
Listen, maybe two, maybe three, max four.
Who won tonight?
Huh?
Well, let's find out.
Let's go around the room. Tiff, what's up, man? What you drinking?
Tito's and lemon. That's it.
Those are saddest night. Tito's and lemons.
Sad night, sad game.
Right, what the hell?
Just sad.
It's very sad.
Sad drink.
Siobhan, what do we got tonight?
I thought so. We have some Maker's Mark and a Pinot Noir. It's called Cloud Veil, rest of a bottle.
Maker's Mark is new for you.
New to you from me.
New to you. New to Hangover Time. Yeah, okay. New to you. Yeah, okay. We're straight. Frankie, what's up, man? What are we drinking tonight?
Cabernet Sauvignon from CVS, Dark Horse Brand.
That's a hefty fucking pour there, Frankie.
Yeah, Oregon. I haven't drank all night, so we're gonna get to it. You know, Texas, they have their liquor stores closed on Sundays. This is fucking un-American.
Really?
They preach freedom. They preach freedom and everything and shit. And your liquor stores can't be open on a Sunday. Get the fuck out of here. Take me out, Brass.
So liquor stores close on Sunday, but guns open Sunday through Sunday.
24 hours.
24 of them things.
I will say for Frankie though, I'm just happy to see it in an actual glass and not an actual Boz. It's true. So that's nice. You know?
That's been true. Like
moving on I've
had,
up.
I've had like damn. 4 episodes with a cup, so.
Yeah, learn to watch
when you're on.
Thanks for watching. No.
Do I need to send y'all wine glasses?
Yeah,
you gotta send us paychecks.
Somebody expense. I'll be fine.
I just broke one today, so you can.
I'll get you. I got you. I told the accountant, he's like, why are wine glasses a company expense? I was like, do not watch our post game show.
It's called Hangover Time.
Come on. Brass, what you got planned today?
I didn't make a cocktail. I hung out with Tiff today, like in person.
I saw that was some nice, was cool. Made some nice cocktail and some very like fun. Nice tableside guac. I was
hell
impressed.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Artisanal guac.
So I have a that's the wrong.
What was that? Like, what was that?
You're terrible at producing. So I have this Captain Lawrence. I have a New England IPA, and I got a 128. Ounce little keg here.
Oh, so. That's fucking awesome.
That's so cool.
Yeah,
it's pretty great. Yeah, dude. That looks great.
So
that is cute.
Yeah, triple IPA too. It's pretty strong.
Tiff, how was hanging out with how was hanging out with Brass? Was it worse than you expected?
Just because you're host of the fucking show doesn't mean shit.
You can still get tossed. Listen, that's one.
Listen. Oh, wait, I have one question. Tiff, at any point did you say take me out, Brass?
Oh, did I? No.
Yeah. No, I don't think so.
Missed opportunity.
No.
Yeah. Wait, that to your partners. What does that mean?
Fuck Alf.
Yeah, Alf canceled, right. And now Alf's in the chat. I was probably watching from his couch saying, yeah, I'm not home yet, guys.
Yeah,
I'm not home. You know what probably happened? Alf said that I might not be home, but Alf was like watching the game and like giving his commentary, and he was probably like, you know what? I already said I might not be there. I feel like they got this. I'm taking a night off.
He saw more of the game than I did.
Fuck this game, by the way. There was a game tonight.
Like,
we should probably talk about it.
On like lineups, Siobhan, like I was like telling you who's in. Like I'm not fucking paying attention to who's in the game when the Bucks are up 30. And I was like, this guy's played 37.8 minutes. Why is he not out there with Chris Paul and Ayton? I was like, that was just so weird.
That's you in there helping him throwing stat tweets in the chat and all this bunch of numbers. What? All these numbers in the chat.
I was just putting carrots.
No.
Yeah, Fez. Fez is out because I'm hosting. Let's get into the game today. Want to get into a couple things. Siobhan, I kind of want to talk about the way that I think Milwaukee really showed you that as long as Phoenix doesn't hit 10 billion threes, they're going to be able to be in the game. I thought their base defense is good. I thought Lopez in the last game kind of showed you that he has some pick and roll chops. He can put him a little higher up. He's able to kind of defend the roller and the ball handler. I thought he did a good job there. And I just think in general, like the Bucks kind of stuck to their game plan. The role guys executed better. Of course, they're at home. You know, Middleton balled out. Thought Giannis was a little bit more of a willing passer, which is something that we talked about last Hangover Time. But I just think it was kind of the same game plan. That was just kind of executed better, and Phoenix kind of struggled shooting the ball. I was kind of curious as to what you thought. Siobhan.
I think it was largely the same game plan. I do think Phoenix missed on some opportunities that I think that they took in the prior game. DeAndre had some opportunities for like some short roll situations and like fumbled a couple times or would roll all the way into the defense when he's been, dragging back behind Chris, fumbled the ball a bit. He didn't, after his, you know, really, really awesome start, he tapered off a bit, you know, Devin didn't play well. And so, yeah, I think, you know, Milwaukee largely did stick to most of their guns, but I think Phoenix missed a lot of opportunities, and we'll probably look at that game. And not that they let one get away, because, you know, the closest it was, you know, was four, you know, within four, some point in the third, but it never really felt like they had much momentum. You know, Milwaukee was going to get at least one at home. So, you know, I think they missed some chances, but I do think Milwaukee did what they were doing well, better, and for longer periods of time.
Tiff, so Book has not great game, you know, first finals game on the road. You know, I think that's, you know, everybody knows that I like take every opportunity to slander Book, but I mean, I just think it's a case of like, dude, young guy on the road, that's a tough spot. You know, that's a lot of pressure. Milwaukee was in do or die situation. A lot of vets on the other team fighting for their lives. I don't take much from that. Kind of wondering where you are.
No, he had a bad game. I mean, that's just pretty much what it was. But I think one thing to take note of is that what's really exposed is when he has a really bad offensive game, you get to see how bad his defense is. So so literally whatever they need to do for game four to get him better open looks, they're going to have to do that, because his defense is predicated on his offense. His defense isn't that good at all. But when he's rolling offensively, he's more of a live body on defense.
Yeah, one ignites the other.
Right. So whatever it is, they got to, that's what they have to figure out. I honestly just think if you couple that with just a bad shooting night all around, this is what you get, because Phoenix literally did what they always do. They just didn't do it good tonight.
Yep.
That's because this is where, you know, this is where we are in this series. They're going to do what they always do, and 9 times out of 10, they're going to win. They just didn't do that tonight, but they had every opportunity going down the stretch into the third to pull this, you know, to either pull even or to take the lead in the fourth, and they just fell apart, which I don't think you're going to see again in game four.
I agree.
I feel like that's just like road game shit, right? It's like, because all those other games, you know, Milwaukee, I don't think Milwaukee was like completely, I think Phoenix is a better team. I think that through three games, I feel like we kind of feel that. But I never thought that Milwaukee was like completely outclassed, because Milwaukee would make these pushes, but Phoenix just kept slamming the door shut. And that just today was it just that just wasn't the case. Like Phoenix just could not pull away from them. Even when Phoenix got a lead on them, they could not get it. They could not stretch it like they usually could. And it's just, I don't know, like it felt like a product of a road game. I think, listen, 2-1 series, you know, is always a really fun game for the team that's down. That's going to be a fight for your life, fucking rock fight. I said earlier that it didn't really feel like the finals to me yet. I think game four is going to feel like the finals. That's going to be fun as fuck. Like, I love, like, it was great.
Series hasn't started yet, G.
Series
hasn't started yet. Starts.
Wait, but
not even.
Road team needs to win for the series to start. I haven't seen anything yet.
Moose, did Scott Foster make his presence felt?
Literally. Who's that?
Did Scott Foster make his presence felt?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. He played hard.
Good take.
Played hard.
Well, no, because the whole thing was like he's in CP3's head. Don't you remember? Like that was the whole fucking stupid narrative. It's like, mm-hmm, oh yeah, mm-hmm. What is it? CP's a 1-12 in the last 13 playoff games officiated by Scott Foster.
And the one win he didn't even play.
He didn't even play. That's via StatMuse.
No, you don't, Alf.
Are you going to come on the show or not, Alf? What are you doing?
I'm nervous. This is the most nervous I've ever been hosting any. This is not, I'm on the biggest platform I've ever been on. I thought all that Scott Foster shit was kind of so fucking overblown. I think the conversation around the series has been brain dead. Frankie, the other thing I kind of wanted to talk about was Kaminsky's minutes today. So without Šarić, you know, that's, which by the way, I think somebody told me that Kaminsky has played more finals minutes than Bam now, which makes me incredibly sad.
God.
Yeah, it's fucking horrible, but you know, we'll get into some Bam Olympic stuff on the back end of the show. But I thought Kaminsky did not look very good. I think they absolutely missed Šarić. They were kind of hammered in those Kaminsky minutes. And I think today, especially when, you know, Ayton's in foul trouble, it really showed. It's like, yeah, they don't really have a guy to back up Ayton. And I don't know. It that shit that looked as bad as I thought it might go. Kaminsky with a crisp minus 12 on the game.
I mean, Kaminsky has never looked good. There's no such thing as good Kaminsky looking minutes. Like he's one of the ugliest guys in the league. He's the fat kid from Rebound, all grown up.
Oh,
like
no.
It's
Martin
just
Lawrence. That's not nice.
Martin Lawrence is a fat kid in Rebound. Terrible joke. Yeah, man, they definitely missed Šarić. Another thing, campaign was and Booker couldn't get it going. They count on so much of their dribble penetration and their shot making to loosen up the rest of the shooting for them. Campaign 3 of 10 from the floor. Devin Booker 3 of 14. You can't win on the road like that. You need those. You need Booker for sure. And if Booker's off, Payne has to pick up the slack. Both of them playing like shit. You know, it's a blowout. It's what it is. So that's my box score opinion. As you can tell, I watched so much of this game.
I mean, listen, Frankie, you're killing it with analysis. So one of the staples here on Hot is making fun of one Thanasis Antetokounmpo, who is absolutely
Thanasis.
It's a snort at the end that fucking kills me.
You gotta snort.
Brass, do we have our boys' highlights or lowlights, however you want to call them?
We sure do.
He's the biggest scrub in the family.
So delightful.
All right, so at the end of the first quarter, we had Thanasis come in for 15 seconds of the game.
Hey.
So let's see how this goes.
So big stint for him.
Oh, foul. Let's see that again.
Please.
How dare he? How dare he do that to Jay Crowder?
Did Thanasis do that?
And that is our Shanley Matter segment tonight. So thank
all
you.
All right.
Oh, look
holy
at that.
Shit, that guy is something, huh?
Hey, played well. Played well. A lot of energy.
That's a career high, right?
I mean, he has a finals win.
That's true.
I mean, he must average like 10 fouls per 36 minutes.
I think it was like 9.
Is it 9?
Actually, like 9 point something.
I think he's so useless. I don't. Okay, Basketball Reference. What do we got? He averages.
Oh, this is great content.
Oh, let's look up. It doesn't really matter, G. We're just talking.
I was kind of curious as to what his per 36 foul minutes are, because that's what we do on Hangover Time when Alf's not here.
So break it down on Heat Beat.
Right. Yeah, if
not the forum.
Yeah, I mean, as weird as this game was, I don't think that there's a lot to take from it. I thought both their teams kind of played their base, and Milwaukee just kind of, you know, got their home win, right? Hold serve at home. I think that I think we're gonna see probably some adjustments on Monty's side in terms of kind of minute management. It's just Tiff. I think it's gonna get tough for them as the series kind of elongates. And we get deeper and deeper into it, but they have to really figure out. I know.
Okay, I can't wait to cut that up later.
I mean, he doubled down. Like, he doubled down in the same sentence, which is.
No, but you know what's funny? That was me aborting. I was just like, oh,
clip
God, that sounds
clip
awful.
Clip that, chat, so I can
that
so I
sounds
can
awful.
That
and then
later.
I'm like, let me do something else. And then I made it worse. I made it worse.
Oh my
as
God.
They get, as two. As we continue more. On yeah, in this series and it gets later and later, Tiff, I'm just girl.
This is the Frank Kaminsky backup of Hangover Time.
I'm literally giving like Alf is under 8.
Brass, we need G's face over Kaminsky's body.
Oh my God. My 36 minutes are horrible. Tiff, I do think that the minutes management going forward is going to be interesting because, you know, Devin had played a lot of minutes prior to tonight, and I know that he's sad, and we can get into, like, why he's sad or whatever. But, you know, without, you know, I saw Torrey Craig played a little bit today, but he's not – I don't think he's 100% right. You know, you're not going to have Šarić, and they really have to be careful with how they manage these guys' minutes because I don't know how much it can survive some of these starters not playing.
So they can't be careful. Like, what am I saving you for?
Yep.
You can't be careful. Like, I don't care if Devin played 40 minutes tonight. He's going to have to play 40 minutes whenever the next game is. It's like, this is it. You're here. You're here to win. And you're a man down. Obviously, you'd rather have Sarge than Frank the Tank, but this is what it is. It's also kind of like, you know how you can spare Devin Booker from probably having to play so many minutes? Maybe if DeAndre Ayton can stay out of foul trouble.
Yep.
So there's a lot of things that can happen in the next game where we'll go, oh, they look as good as they did 3 days ago. But Devin Booker's young. I'm sorry. He's not hurt. He just played like crap. He got pulled, which a lot of coaches should do.
Yeah.
And sit there. Think about it. We're down by 20. No need for you to be out there. Get your rest now because you're not getting your rest in the next game. That's exactly. Literally just what it is. It's nothing. I don't think it's anything detrimental to
him. Oh!
Oh!
There we go.
Hey there, big guy.
Listen.
Take him out.
Brass,
right now.
Bring me full screen. First of all, a couple things I need to address. Bow, 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 bow. My Kevin Hart shit. Boom.
Let me tell you something. One time.
First of all, drip drop. Second of all, I'm going to address the Devin Booker thing in a minute. Thank you. And thank you, G, for taking over Hangover Time. I avoided driving to Vero Beach tonight. So a round of applause for me. Woo! Because if you've ever been to Vero Beach, it fucking sucks. But I want to address those fucking losers in the Deer District. First of all, it's called the Deer District. You're fucking, I mean, inbred fucking Milwaukee cheese eating fucking losers. First of all, it's a super spreader event where you guys are all out there with fucking jerseys and greasy fucking shoulders next to each other. Most of you guys have your fucking shirts off with your fucking titties out, man titties, like fucking man nipples everywhere. Meetings. We call man nipples Frank Kaminsky's because they're all useless. Okay? So the fucking Deer District, all these fucking finesses all over the fucking place. And then to shoot fucking fireworks for a home finals win? Fireworks for one fucking game in the finals. You fucking pathetic losers. Fireworks? That is so much worse than the confetti that the Knicks dropped in when they won one game in the first round a few years ago.
Al, but they were 50% off after 4th of July off, so.
Bro, somebody had to go out there, fucking set up fireworks. Some fucking inbred hick with a fucking neck beard is out there. Oh, the fucking Bucks won? Light them up, baby. And they for a fucking home win. Like, what a fucking loser city, loser franchise. Like, oh my God, I could not believe that shit. Anyway, that's all that what I really wanted to get into. Like, that production in the fucking Deer District. First of all, Deer District. Like, just lean into the fact that you guys are country fucks. And, like, all you do is fucking hunt deer, eat cheese, and fucking, and take your shirt off in public. Like, just lean into it. Like, honestly, you guys all make me embarrassed to wear cargo shorts because I feel like every motherfucker out there wore a fucking Bucks jersey and cargo shorts. You pathetic fucks. Anyway, bring me out, Brass.
There we go.
Welcome.
Oh, that
was so much better than me looking
one time. Drip drop.
Drip drop. I had to run and make a fucking drink first.
That was so much better than me looking up the NASA's per 36 miles.
So much better. Listen,
what were you doing there, G? Come on, man.
I was nervous.
There you go.
There you go. My USB cable held out until Alf got here. Shout out to my USB cable.
USB cable
made more of a contribution tonight than Devin Booker did.
Listen, I want to push back on the Devin Booker thing because I know Siobhan and Tiff disagree with me, because so that probably means I'm wrong. Usually, if Siobhan and Tiff are against me, I'm wrong. But if you have a young superstar, what year is he? In his fifth year?
Something like it.
And he has a bad shooting night, and you are making a push to come back. You cut it to 4 in the third quarter. It goes back to 6, 8, blah, blah, blah. And you go into the fourth quarter, you're down, well, I think there were 12, 13, something starting in the fourth quarter. You bring back in Ayton, and Chris Paul's old ass is still playing out there with one good hip. and you don't bring Devin Booker in, there's two things that are that's happening. Either Devin Booker is hurt, and you're just saying, you know what, you are having a bad game because you're not quite healthy. We're just going to give you the rest because we're not going to come back anyway. Or you are fucking up a young player's fucking confidence. It is a bad look to me. Like, you do not do that to a budding superstar. Like, Dwayne Wade in his third year would have never got benched in the fourth quarter if he had a bad shooting game. And I'm sure he had bad shooting games. Like, you don't do that. Like, and to me, Monty Williams is good enough of a coach, and he's smart enough of a coach that he would never do that to a young man's confidence. Devin Booker was not right.
But you just they're made all your own, not right. Your own
but
right
it's the
there,
end
though.
Of the season, so we can't say it's injury. 'Cause none of them are right. So here's the numbers.
What, Devin the what?
Booker played. What right.
The numbers?
The numbers.
Because now I want to say this. Devin Booker played 29 minutes.
Exactly, Tiff. 29 minutes.
Hold up. Chris Paul only played 34.
Exactly.
Jay Crowder played 33. Bridges played 27. Aiden played 24. It wasn't. It just was what it was.
Right.
But it went. Okay. So did all those guys get benched halfway through the third quarter? That's the difference to me. When a guy doesn't play in the fourth quarter at all, and Aiton and Chris Paul are playing, that to me is not – you're not trying to send a message. You're not saying, young fella, you had a bad game. Just sit on out and watch this. You're not saying that. Either you're saying that you ain't right and you need the rest, or it's a bad – to me, it's a bad look.
But he like, did say that. He pulled him – he set him beside him and spoke to him for like five to ten minutes on the bench.
And that's the thing. That's the thing. You like, there's a difference in the way that Monty coaches and the way that all these other coaches coach. He has a different type of rapport with them. And so, like, yes, typically you wouldn't necessarily pull a young guy that's having a rough shooting night. But I don't even like it. I think that Monty was going into it like Milwaukee was going to win one on their own floor regardless. They lost game three in their last two series. So they, you know, it's nothing to them. And Devin didn't have a good first half last game. He didn't have a good first half this game. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, we made a push. Let's see if our other guys can get us. DeAndre started off well. Chris, yeah, he old as hell, but his old man game and the way that he's able to get to his spots doesn't take a lot of, you know, too much out of his body. He just has a fuck ton of miles. I think that it really was, Devin, you're not playing well. Come here, just sit, relax, gather yourself. You are still young. It is your first finals. And, you know, we're in an okay spot. We're not hurting to win this game three. Milwaukee was going to get one. Go ahead. Let them go feel well about themselves for a night. We'll come back, regroup tomorrow or whenever the fuck.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
And can I just say real quick to back up Siobhan, like Devin Booker, yes, he's a young player, but he's not a rookie. I have zero concerns of this guy losing his confidence. Yeah. If you think he's going to lose his confidence, then you have not been paying attention to Devin Booker. Devin Booker made it here.
Why
bench him when you win?
I legitimately think it was just, yo, tonight's not your night.
It's just not your night.
No. I'm sorry. If you have a superstar a budding young great player and he is 4 for 13, you tell his ass to sit down in the fourth quarter down 12
points? Yes.
Yes, so not giving you anything on
the entire fourth.
I'm a little not giving you anything on the defensive end.
You guys are wilding out. You do not tell a great player we can't come back 12 down.
We don't. The coach does.
You're, right. Or so you go okay, and let him continue.
Oh, you're 4 for 13. 4 for 13. Oh, you sit down because we're down 12. We can never make up this deficit in the goddamn finals. That is not.
But listen, whatever they said,
not in the Deer District.
Whatever was said.
Never do that to Kobe Bryant.
Listen, whatever was said to him, he agreed. Whatever
I'm saying is, all I'm saying is, Justice Winslow was never benched in the fourth quarter of the finals.
Started at the five.
Thank you.
Listen, whatever was said, he agreed because he nodded. He nodded.
Because he wasn't right. He was hurt.
I'm not. Everybody's not right, though.
No, but there's difference between you got a little tweak or something like, yo, bro, like I shouldn't even play tonight. I did my best. Now we're down 12 points in the fourth quarter.
I mean, yeah, 12 points. Because I would say 12
points. 12 points.
12 points is a surmountable lead. Like that is you can erase that. You can erase that.
You put in
especially if you're a 3-point shooter.
You put in your starters 12 points down with 6 minutes left in the fourth.
Listen, he benched him. He benched him.
Because he ain't right.
We can't. It's one game.
I'm gonna trust Monty into the next game.
Do it, bro.
I'm gonna trust him until
do
the
you
next
see
game.
The way he coaches and embraces and like the way that he is with that team? Let that man rock and coach his team.
I'm not saying he's really wrong.
This is a really good basketball talk. I'm glad we got to it. So I'm gonna hit you one time with a drip shot. That was for the chat.
I'm not saying he's wrong. What I'm saying is that we need to look at Devin Booker and think and be honest with ourselves that the reason that he's playing like this is not because he just had a bad shooting night. That man is hurt. Because if he wasn't hurt
or sick, right? I mean,
or sick, there's something going on with Devin Booker, because if he was 100% healthy, you let him play that entire fourth quarter. Any coach in the NBA after 29 minutes and you're down 12 points, you let him play 12 minutes to try to get you back. If you're still down 14 with 4 minutes left, then you pull him.
Or for what? Three. Like you said, they were already closer in the third, down four, and they didn't pull it. Like, they didn't mount. They didn't finish that gap. So why put him back in now 12 if he isn't feeling right, if he isn't shooting?
Because
it's
12 points in the fourth quarter of a finals game. And Devin Booker is your best player. Like, why would you?
Well,
not
right, and you know, and Milwaukee hasn't really been doing very particularly well in those fourth quarters. I mean, that's just my guess. I from what I've seen, it's a little weird. It's a little weird. I do think there's something. I think there's something to be said from what Alpha's saying.
He's hurt. I mean,
because 12 points is not much, man. It's not like if it were like 25.
Yeah,
points. I get it, but like, listen, if you're in a situation where
so
you can possibly go up
3-0, knows more.
Yeah,
I think the coach knows the motherfucker was hurt.
Coach,
well,
yeah,
I'm not gonna, I can't ride with that if he started the game to play. So
and he
you
went 3 for 14. And then third quarter they were like, man, you done.
Because he went 2 for 10 the first half of last game,
and they were like. They were like, thank you, bro. You tried. Like, thank
and
you
so
for
he
trying.
So he did the same thing. He tried the first half. Mine, he was like, have a seat.
Yeah. Just for a bit. You tried, but that's not a healthy player doesn't get pulled like that, in my opinion.
Gianni's looking at the NASA's per 36.
They do, and more should. More should, for real, for real. Like, there's something to, like, riding momentum. There's also something to, like, stopping a particular wave of bad momentum. More like, people should be pulled for little bursts of time. Yeah. Intermittent.
But not for a quarter and a half.
Sure.
But you know what? I don't think it was going to be that long when Monty initially pulled him.
Right.
And then the game just kind of kept going. And then at that point, it was like, you know what? Not going to put him back in now and just risk further injury or something.
It was
but that's it. But again, if you're talking injury and shit like that, like
that's what I'm saying. Like, it ain't the man just had a bad shooting game.
Like I'm saying, if you're talking about like keeping a player out to not risk injury, it's Chris Paul you're talking about, not Devin Booker.
Yeah.
right? So, right. like, Devin Booker started – what did you say he started last game? Like, 2 for 12 or something like that?
I mean, it was 10, like, two for 10.
It was bad, like bad.
10, yeah.
But, like, you know –
and he finished well. He finished decently.
He still ended up getting 31 points.
Yeah.
Like, in the last game. So, like, he came around. Like, he can do that. He can start off poor and come right. around and explode and right. certainly overcome a 12-point deficit. Right. I think
they
that's
were
a
at
fair.
Home. They had their crowd. Milwaukee was like it was. Milwaukee was just due to win a game. They were gonna right. get as.
I know, sure. it feels a little hindsight though. Like it, just but, like going into yeah, the fourth quarter, so. I sort of see it. I mean,
but why play Paul and Ayton then? Is my whole thing. Now, if you really, my biggest criticism of Monty is not about Devin, because I think there's a story behind that story. To me, it was DeAndre Ayton had four fouls, and you held him out in the entire fourth quarter while the game slipped away. At some point, he gonna foul out either way. Like you yeah. say, what you save him last two fouls for, and you getting beat the fuck up on the inside. You know what I mean? Like at some
yeah,
point,
Kaminsky's
like
he's not giving you shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God, Frank Kaminsky. My God.
Oh wow. Oof.
This.
But like for real. Damn. Like okay. So like let's take this. Let's talk about the Heat for a second. Like this season, if we're going in, if you know, important game, we really need this. We're down by 12 going into the fourth, and Duncan Robinson has been shooting like shit. Are we really content with just letting him sit on the bench just because he's having a rough shooting night?
But no, Duncan,
what is he doing on the defensive end?
They do well, different things, though.
I think it'd be more
thing.
Like
I mean, okay, but I'm just trying to say, like, it's someone that's not maybe okay, maybe they're not really giving you much on the defensive end, and that's kind of what you're sort of concerned about a little bit tonight. But like, you know, that's why I didn't use a player like Jimmy, because like you know Jimmy can have shooting nights, but like defensively he's giving you shit.
Yeah.
Moose, but, when you're coming back from a double digit deficit,
I'm just saying it's the fucking finals.
Defense isn't your first concern. And when you're coming back from a double-digit deficit, like you have to score.
If you're not worried about defense, it's going to be more than – I mean, it's going to continue amping up.
Campaign was out there. You have to get stops. Campaign ain't stopping nobody.
You got to get stops.
But I'm saying, unless he's hurt, like if you're going to lose by whatever they lost to tonight – or yeah. if or they lost by fucking six, it doesn't really matter. Like you know, a loss is a loss. Like
yeah.
to me, unless there's an like a bigger issue going on, if he's sick, if there's an injury, like you play him. You just play him in these situations for the entire fourth quarter.
I think yeah,
no, I mean, I maybe think outside of like an injury concern, I think the Suns should feel really good about this. Like Siobhan said, you probably weren't going to sweep Milwaukee. Milwaukee's going to get one at home. But look at this. The minutes that the Suns played compared to the Bucks, none of their main core guys played more than 35 minutes. All of Milwaukee's big three played 38 or more. And to win by 20, like they got a blowout and they didn't even get their rest for their starters. So while Phoenix, you know, they're like, all right, you know, count this up. We know what we did wrong. Devin's not going to shoot this bad again if he's healthy. Chris Paul's going to get it going next game. Ayton's not going to get in foul trouble like this. We know what we have to adjust to. Milwaukee just played their best game and had to play their guys maximum minutes to win by 20 at home. Like that, like Phoenix is going to feel way better about this loss than Milwaukee should about this win.
And Alf, those minutes you're talking about good with point. DeAndre and Chris at the end, those are like in-game reps at that point. That's a point guard repping with his young big, like high leverage. Like it was over, but not. But like I agree with what Frankie said. Like it's, I don't think that the Chris and DeAndre minutes at the end should be indicative of whether or not Devin should have been into. Consider all things else considered. Me personally.
Yeah. Well, I will say that if you're giving up a game at the beginning of fourth quarter down 14, 16 points, it's bad luck and not a finals game. You don't give that up. You play that until at least three, four minutes left. And then they pulled away and then they pulled all their starters. But, like, if you're going to bench anybody, if you're going to sit anybody down because the game's out of reach, Chris Paul is the first motherfucker that needs to sit down. And that's why it did not make sense to me that Devin Booker's sitting because the game's out of reach, but DeAndre Ayton and Chris Paul are there. Like, to me, that doesn't make sense. You put those two out there because you think you might be able to pull within six or something like that. And then watching Devin Booker on the bench – if somehow they got the game within six with six minutes left, it ain't look like Devin Booker was coming back in the game no matter what.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's where I say it wasn't about his poor shooting. It was about the fact that no matter what happened, he was not going back in that game because he was not right.
Yeah. And that's something we won't know. That's something we won't know unless they leak that. And they usually don't leak something like that unless it's obvious. But we're also used to Spo riding with Wade no matter what the score is, no matter his
shooting. As he should.
We need a three-pointer. Let's draw it up for Dwayne Wade.
Wade would make that falling off.
Yeah, and what's your point?
And he would make
That's what I'm saying. We're used to we're just used to that.
But okay, I came in here like a house of fire, and apparently we have some segments to get to that I didn't know we didn't get to yet.
Segments? Moose is like hard 30. This is the longest hard 30 ever.
That's why I'm saying let's get to the segments. Come on.
Wait, okay, so what do we have? We have a Bonds breakdown and a Moose at the movies?
Spoiler alert.
Then why the fuck was I talking so much?
Hold on. Hold up. Let me break it down so it can forever and consistently be broke.
We gotta skip Moose in the movies today.
I mean, we honestly we can. It's
we should have skipped Jay at the Hangover time.
I wish we skipped you tonight, Jay. What's up, Siobhan?
This won't be long. I just wanted to look at a few of how Brooke was playing the pick and roll coverage and one defensive at the end. Go ahead. The first one. So pause. All right. So. Drew's on Chris. Brooke is guarding DeAndre. Last game, G, you made a point to talk about how Brooke was doing a good job getting to the level of the screen, but still recovering back. I feel like this game, I don't even know that he was trying to come all the way up to the screen, at least not when he was guarding DeAndre. Go ahead. Pause. He's wide open. I really, really appreciate the way that DeAndre Ayton, the way that he rolls to the basket. Chris comes off the screen. He'll drag to either the left side or the right side. A lot of times he likes to come to the right because that's where he gets his little shot too. Chris is probably the only person that should be allowed to make jump passes. He does them very well. And this was the result early on in the first. So then coming down here, go to the next one. Pause. All right. So now it's Frank Kaminsky in, and I think, is that Chris? Yeah, Frank and Chris. Brooke is guarding Frank, kind of in the way because there's some action happening. His guard's got to fight over and a bunch of stuff. Go ahead. Comes back. Pause. He's still playing off, but I feel like he was playing even further off of DeAndre. Go ahead. Pause. Last play, we saw him kind of, I don't know, like a bad trap on Chris coming off this time. He mostly stuck with the body of Frank and rolled with him. I don't know if he felt he needs to do that because Frank is bigger, but like DeAndre had been working him kind of in the first quarter, or working all of them really. Go ahead. Just looking at, like I said, differences in how they were guarding. Go to the next one. Pause. So here, so it's DeAndre. Now Bobby's guarding him. Let it roll. Pause. Same thing. Bobby is playing in the area that Brooke had been playing him. Last game, DeAndre was doing a good job of rolling short, stopping in kind of that free throw line area. Had he done that, Jay needs to fill behind him more to the right. That's a hard pass for DeAndre to try to make at the angle. Jay pops over some more. DeAndre stops short, catches the ball cleanly. Jay might have a shot. David can cycle through. You know, they get a little bit more motion. DeAndre fumbles the ball. Go ahead. And then, you know, Crab dribbles out. And then they continue. I think Cam's going to come around, gets a roll. DeAndre could be sealed right here. Jay's in the corner. They recovered well. I think they could have gotten that earlier on. And last one is them quickly on defense. Pause. It's like semi-transition here. And so the philosophy, I guess, you know, in transition, build the wall, guard Giannis, whatever, whatever, whatever. Frank is guarding Brooke way back here. I don't know why Frank stopped so short in anticipation of Brooke shooting at three. If he shoots it, he makes it, let him. Go ahead. You have pause. You have Giannis now already with the momentum he had from the little semi transition, and now with a screen, you know, and like vertical dive, Devin's gonna have to cut over and help. Devin's too small. Frank is still too high up, worried about the kick out to Brooke. Let Brooke shoot that three. You need to prevent, you know, this big dude from diving down the middle. Go ahead. I think Phoenix had a lot of looks at doing some of the things that they like to do, but just didn't do them well, and that Milwaukee did the things that they should have been doing just in longer stretches. That's it.
Yeah.
Nice.
What do you think, G?
Right.
Nice laundry bag.
Nice laundry.
Yeah,
like what the hell?
Feel free to fold your clothes.
Holy
man. What
shit.
The fuck?
I want to make it weird. I just want to stay on this and make it weird for G.
Is that Degree deodorant over on the side?
G actually added himself to the show here. Like, as if he's ready, and this is what he leaves us with.
I love the little squirt bottle he has on the windowsill.
I don't even. I have questions, and I don't want them answered. I really
first
don't.
Thing I was about to say.
I was like, "What is that? Does he water his plants with that thing?"
It's a fleet bottle. Windows. Nobody knows what that is.
You know that that meme where it's like the goofy looking dude, like the Disney characters, and he walks into this woman's bedroom and her mattress is on the floor and she got clothes everywhere. Then he's like, B, you live like this? I'm like, G, you live like this?
Max and Roxanne.
You're like, what's happening, G?
Like, right, it's supposed to be like a real pretty. I'm like, damn, shorty, this how you?
Yeah, you live like this? I bet G don't have a bed frame. I guarantee you that shit.
Bet he don't have a bed.
Look at that.
It's either no bed frame or like no box frame. One of them is missing.
He just lays on the anime body pillow.
It's a twin.
G, why don't you have a girlfriend and we just post
this? Stop it. Stop it.
Oh, were you guys doing a show? I didn't know that.
Why the fuck did you add your camera to this, G, and then you walk away?
I wonder how that feels. Listen, I wonder how that feels.
You probably thought the camera was out. So.
Oh, shit.
Good Game Mariah says, moose don't laugh.
Hey, at least I got an apartment. Not a little square. Well, actually, it's the same shit. Nah, take me out. Take me out. You got me.
Okay.
Gonna hit her one time. You got me.
God damn.
Moose turned his camera around. There's been no looking back. We can get enough refrigerator.
We'll
be hitting you with different angles every day. You got some lightning in the back, too.
No, that original camera angle just fucked Moose up because like you saw everything that he owned in one camera angle. Like, it was his couch, his kitchen, his bedroom.
It's
his
so
car.
True. You go back and it's like a completely different Moose.
Yeah,
and then we're on with Chris Cody like late one night, and then he's just like, oh,
it was literally
like,
hour
do you have
number
another-
three.
Yeah, do you have another like angle? Could you turn your camera and all of a sudden there's a guitar on the fucking wall and art pictures?
We're like a pimp ass spot. We're like, bro, what are you doing?
It's classed up in
Jesus.
The back.
Oh,
so this is so Kendrick Perkins has been watching our show. So
it's carry the hell on
because he says the NASA's being able to see seconds on the floor during the NBA finals is beyond disturbing to me. Y'all carry on though. Oh, wait, should I do it in the accent?
What accent?
my perk is terrible. And apparently him and George Carl got into it. Did y'all see that?
Oh,
I
shit.
Did not.
Who doesn't George Carl get into it with?
So George Carl said, I'm taking the Bucks tonight. They went on Pride and with the great Milwaukee fans in the arena. The media like Kendrick Perkins need to show them some damn respect. Carry on.
Damn, what a troll.
And then Kendrick showed the Bucks some respect. With all due respect, coach, I know what it takes to win the championship, and playing random and having fun ain't the answer. This is the finals. You are supposed to be stressed out, and that's you care. What the fuck? This ain't fun and games. Now you carry on. And apparently he was wrong because the Bucks didn't win.
Still less
fun and games was perfect. The fun and games was perfect. You had
fun and games.
We know how we do fun and games around here.
What?
What, with Moose at the movies?
Oh.
One man, two desires. Drip, drop, and cinema. It's Moose at the Movies. Powered by StreamBeat.
No popcorn tonight because this one doesn't deserve it. And thank you, Carla Tiana. Yes, I do fold my laundry. I also have hangers and a full walk-in closet.
Hanger over time.
Hanger over time? All right, ladies and gentlemen. The triumphant return of Moose at the Movies, powered by StreamBeat Podcast. What's up, Frankie? Is back. And tonight, I want to shine a light on a basketball player that we all know and love and his stellar acting performance. Now, quick question. Did you guys know that Ray Allen was in a movie?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Like, it's crazy, right? Right? But I just have some questions because, like, okay, so let me backtrack. We're going to take it to the Ivy League route. You all know the movie. It's very, very popular, where a young point guard gets himself in one messy situation. You guys know the Ray Allen movie. That's right. You all guessed it. I'm breaking down Harvard, man. All
what?
Right.
Ooh, what the fuck?
That's, yep, yep. Oh, this is man, racist. This what? One was a challenge, people.
The show should have
yes.
ended 20 minutes ago.
Here,
shut
you
up,
know what? I'm telling you right now, this movie, just hang in there. Okay,
I
so,
thought this was about Kendrick Nunn.
Hang in there, time.
Hang in there, time. This is easily the worst movie in the history of cinema. I don't
Who's
understand.
Ray Allen is in this movie.
No, I wasn't making that up. I don't understand how it got made, and I understand why Ray Allen wants you to have no idea that this movie exists. So... This movie takes place like, first off, in this movie stars Vincent Chase, as you can see, Adrian Grenier. Then we have Buffy the Vampire Slayer and the annoying voice lady from Dazed and Confused and Big Daddy. Nobody knows her name, but
oh, finger
they're
cuffs?
All in this. Yeah, and we can't yeah. stand. So, yeah, we just call her the teacher in this movie, okay? In this movie, our main character, Vincent Chase, is a philosophy major, and he's borderline brilliant, but he also has his secrets. See, he's actually sleeping with the teacher, with the annoying voice and all that. But don't worry, it's purely physical. See, he starts dating Buffy because she's the captain of the cheerleading team and the star point guard, so they're picture perfect, Harvard white couple. But there's a rumor going around about Buffy's father. Apparently, her dad is mixed up with the mob. And no. Ray Allen, the basketball team's leading scorer, tries to warn Vince about this, but it's too late. Vincent Chase is already too deep, if you know what I mean. It's okay. Crazy. Yeah, it's fine. This is, after dark, nobody's watching. So they start dating, and then out of nowhere, he gets a call from his parents that a tornado wiped out their house, and they're essentially homeless now. So he turns to Buffy's mob boss for the financial help and the money and all that, and they agree, listen, all you have to do is throw the upcoming basketball game and you can have all your money, cash. So he reluctantly agrees. The next day in the final minutes of the game, he keeps turning the ball over and passing the ball to Ray Allen low and to the left. They lose the game and Vince has his cash money to save his parents. All he has to do is wait for the one guy to deliver the duffel bag with his winnings.
So wait, this is LeBron in 2014, basically.
And 11.
Yes, correct. Definitely 2011. This is where shit gets even fucking weirder, okay? So Vince gets his money. He decides to celebrate the fact that he's about to save his parents by doing pure LSD.
What?
Homie starts tripping hard, and suddenly there's a knock at the door. It's Ray Allen bursting into the with a gun to Vince's face, and he delivers the most amazing acting performance. I'm not making this up. He literally goes like this. You know I like the past chest high. What'd you get us into?
No.
It was great.
Laces out, Dan.
Yeah. Yeah. And then out of nowhere, boom, he's pistol whipped by one of Buffy's goons and he dies because like we never see him again. We also never see Vince because he starts tripping balls and just
Wait, who gets pistol whipped by one of Buffy's
Ray
goons?
Allen.
Ray Allen. Ray Allen gets pistol whipped and then we never see him again. Then
I'm
the white guy.
I'm having a hard time following the plot of this film.
It's a very difficult
Jesus
movie to follow.
Shuttlesworth gets knocked out.
Even,
Jesus Christ.
Even the audio throughout the Rondo. Entire movie, like, it's dubbed incorrectly. Like, it doesn't lay over well. It was very low budget.
Were you watching this in Spanish?
It felt like it.
Was it streamed on Twitch?
We also, so Vince decides to just leave the money and the duffel bag right there on the doorstep because he's tripping balls. So he decides to go do coke with the teacher. And that's literally it. I mean, more shit happens in this movie, but it makes no fucking sense. Like, even the way the director shoots it, there's 20 minutes where it's entirely like that, where it's like wavy. Vince takes the LSD, the audience starts tripping with him, and the graphics are terrible. The movie was like that for 20 minutes. A bunch of other shit happens, including an FBI tap. This annoying voice teacher is actually part of like a sex club that helps save Vince from going to prison. And Buffy the Vampire Slayer actually steals the money from her mob boss. But like, I didn't care at that point. It took me 3 weeks to finish this fucking thing. All right. All I know is that I'm going to go down to Groan, see our guy, Ray Allen, and I'm literally gonna ask for my money back or my time back. I give this movie -100 drip drops, and I demand an apology from Ray as soon as I get there. I don't even give a fuck about the three anymore. Like, I'm pissed off about all of this.
I'm pretty sure this movie doesn't exist. You are actually on an LSD trip right now.
It felt like it. It was terrible. So, yeah, I'll be back next time. Brass, take me out. This was... I gotta stop watching shitty movies, man. We need the off season.
Jesus, really, you do this on yourself. We don't tell you to watch that movie.
You could watch.
This is the first. This is the first bad one that I've seen. All the other.
You
could have
watched Black Widow for all we.
I don't know. You watched Luck of the Irish, motherfucker. Like, you have not seen good.
Racist, but good movie.
Most of them are racist.
Somebody cut that up.
I know. You should do Double Team. Oh, you should do Double Team with the twins.
I know.
That was actually on my list, but I didn't want to do Disney back to back.
Wait, I know Gianni isn't acting like we're boring him to death when half the time.
Oh my god, how long was that?
I mean,
you guys
go ahead.
Watch the whole movie?
Do a breakdown of Spain Pick and Roll, please. You know, if you really want to bore someone to death.
Shorter than the fucking Lord of the Rings trilogy that Moose just gave us.
God took me 3 weeks to watch that shit, really.
That felt like 3 weeks. God. I gotta get napping. I'm ready for another hour, and I'm ready for another hour.
You watch anime, G. Shut up.
I'm gonna watch it when we get off this call. Love Life.
I know you are. That's why you're bitching about it.
Take your ass to bed, G. When we get off this call. Stop staying up all hours watching funny looking cartoons.
Get your little drip drop bottle over there on the windowsill.
Fold your clothes, first of all.
I do. I'm doing laundry, actually. I'm waiting for.
Waiting for my khakis to dry. About Nigeria last night.
Oh, yeah, we should talk about that.
Oh,
Jesus Christ.
How do you feel?
G said on the back end of the episode we're going to talk about it, and he just completely...
Listen, tomorrow on Miami Heat, here on twitch.tv/MiamiHeat, we're going to give you a full breakdown as to why Gabe Vincent is the next franchise player.
Wow, good take.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to be real Stu Goss with it, but like, do it in an NBA game.
And he has and was all of March and beyond.
I'm gonna be real with you.
Last season don't count.
Come on, like there were whole games where he did not look like an NBA player.
I love it. That is hilarious.
That is good, actually. I like that.
He's been good and serviceable since March. Stop.
There were whole games where he didn't look like an NBA player.
And so like, neither did Bam. Sometimes.
Whole weeks. No. But come on. Siobhan.
That one was inflammatory. But
yes,
no.
you Gabe, went too far. No.
Gabe was good last season. Stop it.
He was okay. He wasn't lighting up the US Olympic basketball team good.
I gotta outscore Kevin Durant.
Who does the US play the next game?
I don't know.
I mean, whoever it is, they whoop their ass, right?
They're gonna come out, it's gonna be like a
40-50.
Oh,
point.
Fuck. Someone says they're playing Australia. Here go Patty Mills.
Hit a buzzer beater against Argentina.
Yeah, he won.
Bro, you like Patty Mills, though, don't you, Alf?
Listen, on site. On site.
Ben Simmons isn't playing, so it might be
It's harder because Ben Simmons isn't playing. Can't play hack a bit.
You know what I thought was funny? Ben Simmons, like
when I said I would fuck up Patty Mills on site,
Oh my god. Wave.
He deserves an ass whooping for that 2014 towel waving.
I don't have
he still ain't get his yet. Wait till
I don't have the clip here, but you see the fucking Falcon roast Ben Simmons.
Yes.
Oh my god. No, yeah. I didn't see that clip.
Yes. Oh my god. Yes,
I saw it was on Twitter, but I didn't see that.
I love that.
They brought two kids on to thank him for building fucking their house with bricks.
He like brought it was Scott's incredible. Tie. It was very Scott's tie.
It was very
Holy
Scott's tie.
Holy shit.
But I love that Brass called him the Falcon.
The Falcon.
And I don't even watch Marvel. I've never seen fucking Marvel movies, but whatever.
I didn't know who that was. Everybody's
Mr.
like,
Mr. Mackey?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, Anthony Mackie. That's it. That's it.
I don't watch any Marvel property. I don't know anything.
Oh, wow. You're such a cool hipster.
Oh, god damn it. G and I have something.
I'm a loser. I watch anime and I talk about basketball on Twitch. I'm the biggest fucking loser there is. It's not a flex. No, it's more
three.
Like making fun of my cultural ignorance.
You're fantastic.
Yeah.
No, I would take him out. I want G to stew in his cultural anger, ignorance.
G's the ultimate
God damn,
contrarian.
This beer is strong.
Someone said G is
the Loki variant.
Yes.
I'd rather do I'd rather have Gator Loki on here. Honestly.
Loki.
Yeah, we got to do something for the Loki finale on Stream Beat. We'll talk about that.
We'll do that. Yeah, let's go.
Wow.
We really petered out here.
Wow.
I mean,
hang on. I actually
watched Harvard Man. Come on.
Yeah.
Yo, that movie made 56,000 at the box office.
56,000?
Shit.
That is Thanasis. You can't even pay for Thanasis.
56,000 is still that still feels like more money than they had to make the fucking movie.
No, the budget was 5.5 million.
And four of it went to Buffy.
That's all went
five
to
and a half million?
Exactly.
Four of it went to Buffy, I bet.
That's true, because that was like at the peak of Buffy.
That was peak
time.
Buffy.
So you're right. Her quote was probably up.
Exactly.
Wait, what is that?
Oh, gosh.
Oh, shit.
Oh.
Not this mother.
Oh. Hey, yo.
What's up, Perk?
I heard that y'all was back in space with Richard Branson.
I wish we were, Perk.
Is this my space?
Yep.
Your space.
Your space. Go ahead, Perk. Go off.
So, if I can go off, let me just explain something to motherfucking George Carl. Fuck you, George Carl. You fucking pussy.
Okay.
Wow. All right. That escalated quickly.
I think you got it. I think you said it.
I don't like that shit he did to me on Twitter.
Can you talk to me about the Thanasis minutes tonight?
Bringing up old shit. That was years ago. What? Thanasis? Thanasis is a product of nepotism.
Nippletism.
Yes. Necrophology. That ain't right. Because, you know, you just can't get a job because your little brother good at basketball. That's nepotism.